How many people are happy about that? Praise the Lord. It doesn't get better in Matthew 6, though. It's not better. Amen. We're going to read kind of an interesting sermon this morning. I had a little bit of trouble kind of like organizing this one. I almost just like scrapped it and was just going to wing it, but I decided not to do that because I'd probably get in trouble when I started winging stuff, say things that I have to fix next week. I do want to say one thing. Last Sunday, I put up a video last Sunday night about it, but last Sunday I said something, and I'm not in any way apologizing for it, but I realized as I listened to it, it came across a little strong, and maybe almost condemning a little bit, and it certainly that's not the intent. And what I said last Sunday was that, the Bible says that we raise our children the way they should go. When they get older, they won't depart from it. Right, that's a promise, right? So what I said, if kids are older and they're off the rails, you see where I'm going with this, right? If I raise them where they should go, when they get older, they won't leave. So if they're leaving, that means that I didn't raise them properly. Can I get amen? And so again, as we prayed for some of you this morning that have kids that are struggling or off track or whatever it might be, I just wanted to encourage you, church, if you have children that are wayward right now, just pray. Ask the Lord, Lord, did I do something wrong? Is there some way, is there a way that I failed these children? And my goodness gracious, we were talking with some people yesterday, and it's like raising kids is hard, man. They're crazy. Can I get amen? Right? Kids are crazy, man. We were all one of them, too. We were all crazy, right? So I just wanted to encourage you, please, if you received that, like felt, poorly about yourself, please don't do that. And here's really why I brought that up, because what happens, my beloved, is that so like this, that scripture doesn't say if you raise your kids in church when they get older, they won't depart. It's not what it says. So how many people live like, I've raised my kids in church? Okay, great. So for 2 hours out of 168 hours in a week, they're in the house of God. 166 hours left. What are they getting for those other 166 hours? Can I get amen, right? Church is a piece of the puzzle. Can I get amen? Right? I'm a pastor. Look, if you get your kids in church and do nothing else, they're not going to make it. They need to be in church. Right? Can I get amen? So here's what the Lord, I just want to encourage you. What happens, my beloved, is when we feel like we're standing on the word of God or something, we do something for God and then it seems to fail in our eyes, what really happens is that it causes us to doubt what God has said. Right? Well, geez, my kids are messed up, so that scripture, that must not be true. Now, we may not actually say that, but it's there. It grinds in the back of our minds. Is that all right? So I want to encourage you, if you've got kids that are off track right now, call them home. Call them home. If you've done something wrong, the Lord will tell you, repent, get it right with God, and call your kids home. In Jesus' name. All right. Is that good? So Matthew 6. We're starting in Matthew 6 this morning. And there's a shift in Matthew 6 that I want to just read this briefly here from Oswald Chambers. This is what he says. In chapter 5, our Lord demands that our disposition be right with him in our ordinary natural lives lived towards others. Everybody say towards others. Right? So if you go back and read all through Matthew 5, everything that Jesus teaches in Matthew 5 is about how we live our lives towards others. Right? Chapter 6, he shifts gears. And Oswald says that Jesus deals with the domain of our lives lived to God before others. All right? So Matthew 5 is this way. Matthew 6 immediately shifts this way, but it's before people. Right? You understand? So there's the concept as we spent a few weeks in the beginning of and getting through Matthew 6 here. So we're going to read 1 through 4 this morning. Chapter 6. Is it up on the screen? Beautiful. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving will be in secret and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Amen. Father, we ask that you'd open our hearts and our minds right now as we take a few moments here and dig into the Word of God, dig into more truth, Lord. We want, again, the promise at the end of this sermon is if we do this, our house will stand. There's not a person alive that does not want what they build to stand up. So, Lord, we thank you for no matter how this hits us, if we leave here, we're angry, we leave here, we're offended, let us understand that this is important to getting our lives built so they'll stand up. In Jesus' name. You're not going to be offended. I was just throwing that in there. A couple principles here I want to show you, and we're going to kind of bounce around the first like 18, 19 chapters for the first 18 or 19 verses. We're going to kind of be bouncing around these the next couple of Sundays. So first principle is found in verse 1. All right, first half of verse 1 says this: beware of practicing your righteousness. Where, church? What's the next phrase? Before men, right? So let me ask you this question. Is the issue with Jesus, is the issue that he's getting at that we're doing things before men? All right. What do you guys think? Yes or no? I say the issue is no. All right, I'm going to prove it. This is not the issue. This is not what he's getting at. Matthew 5:16, he says, let your light shine where? Before men. In such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says this, verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Right? What's interesting is that the word before in Matthew 5:16 and the word among in Peter's writings, it's the same Greek word. Translated differently into English, right? Same Greek word. So we have Jesus saying, let your light shine before men. Peter saying, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, isn't this a crazy verse, right? They may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify your God in the day of visitation. Right? So if we go back to Matthew 6:1, the issue, my beloved, is not solely doing things before men, right? The next phrase is what we're going to land on for a few minutes here. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Let's say it together. To what? To be noticed by them. To be noticed by them. Let's think about this for a minute. We, as humans, we like being noticed. We do, don't we? I mean, I'm a dude, and I spend a fair amount of time looking in the mirror, especially on Sunday mornings, making sure that I'm noticeable. Right? Like, I wasn't going to wear this shirt this morning. I was ironing another shirt, and there was, like, a spot on it that, honestly, none of you would have noticed, but I noticed it. And I was like, that's not noticeable. It's not proper to wear that shirt. I definitely would have worn that for sure, but you know what I'm saying? Like, we care about being noticed, right? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's a good thing, right? Like, think about it as men, right, as boys, we have this inherent desire, especially for our father to recognize us, right? Our father, you know, we want our dad to come to our football games or whatever, you know what I mean? Like we want our dad to say, I'm proud of you, son. There's not a boy alive at some point doesn't come to that, realize that longing in his heart, right? When girls, I think you must have some with your moms, right? Your girls want to hear they're pretty and beautiful and you look nice and whatever it is, right? You know what I'm saying, right? We long for this recognition, right? Think about kids. If you've got kids or you got grandkids, Everly right now is our one that's doing this, right? She's constant. The moment she's awake to the moment she passes out at night, it's always, Dad, watch me do this. Dad, watch me do this. Dad, check this out. Dad, look at this. Dad, Dad, Dad. Mom, Mom, Mommy, Mom, Ma, Mom, Mom, Dad, Dad, Dad. I love you. Dude, I'm telling you, it's 6,000 dads in like a minute. And I'm like, I don't even know how you squeeze that much dads in there. It's crazy. And then she does the same thing she's been doing for 6 months. You're like, that looks identical to what you did 5 minutes ago that I had to watch. Right? But there's a longing for approval. Right? And I think it's from God. I don't think that's from the devil at all. Like so many things that God gives us, the devil will twist it and make it evil. Right? So I posted something yesterday on my Instagram account. I'm finally getting on Instagram. I'm old. Right? I'm finally getting on track with that stuff. But it's talking about, you know, I know those kids in here, but they're already hearing it. It's talking about sex, and it says this. Sex is not for men and women. Sex is for husbands and wives. I was like, oh my goodness. Drop the mic. Dude. I was like, yes. Thank you so much, right? Sex is a gift from God intended to be enjoyed and blessed in marriage, man and woman, right? The devil has taken a gift from God and twisted it and made it destructive and dirty and all kinds of bad things. Amen. So we have this, church, this deep approval. Each of us longs for someone, especially someone that we deem important. Parent, grandparent, spouse, sibling, teacher or coach, close friend. I don't have it on my list, but even like pastor, right? Sometimes we long, you know, Pastor Al. There's times that I really wanted his approval, right? Like, you're doing good, right? And man, if we feel like we're not getting the attention that we want, it's hurtful, right? And so it's weird. We have this weird balance that, as I've been reading through this week, we've got this weird balance that's going to start coming into these next several weeks of like giving encouragement, right? But almost being able to live a life and do the right thing without receiving any. Right? It's this really weird balance of, right? And we're gonna hammer this home a little bit, I hope, this morning, right? It feels good when someone notices us. Right? Like, think about this. How many times does a marriage start to struggle because there's not enough noticing going on at home? And then someone at the office starts saying, man, you look really great today. Right? You know, church, most affairs start with something that simple. Right? That's why it's so important in your home. Why do kids start getting involved with things they should not at a young age? Because they're not being noticed at home. Right? Little girls should fall in love with their dad first. Everly's there every day. Dad, can we get married today? I'm like, I'm already married to mommy. She's like, that's all right. She's fine with it. I talked to her. All right, whatever, it's fine. But statistically, if you think about this, most young girls, you know, like teenagers, 12, 11, 10 years old, most young girls that get sexually active at a young age is because they do not have enough affection from their dad. That is proof. Those are stats. Look it up. Same thing with young boys who become bullies, sexually active, these kinds of things, because they do not have the proper affection from their mom. Little boys should fall in love with their mom first. Right? Not weird, church, you know what I mean? There should be this affection. I don't need anything else. I'm getting it right here. This all right? See, Jesus, interesting here, Jesus warns us strongly against specifically doing righteousness. That's what he says, right? Beware practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. It's a warning. Beware of it. Stay away from this. Back away from this temptation. Right? So I talked to you a little bit about life. Now let's bring it back to what Jesus is saying, right? This is literally, church, this issue right here is literally what fueled the Pharisees then and what fuels a religious spirit now. The desire to be approved of by men. Now, before we go off the rails, let me hit one verse here, right? Because I've seen so many people in church today, They've come through this house. I've seen them. I had a friend of mine here during worship today. I've got some friendships that we're building elsewhere. And there's a real problem in the body of Christ study where there's so many people like, church is that God's done with church. God's done with, dude, garbage, absolute garbage. The Lord specifically said, I'm going to use the church. I'm going to use it, right? Not a church, the church. Can I get amen, right? God is cleaning it up, right? Church is a disaster nationwide, worldwide. It's real jacked up. God's cleaning it up. He's getting the bride straightened back out. Let's do something. Can I get amen? So if you look at it, there's so much scripture about authority, submission, government, organization. If there is no church, then how do you have all that stuff? If there's no pastors, there's no apostles, there's no prophets, if there's not some kind of structure, how would you rebel against anything? We're warned time and time again about rebellion as on the sin of witchcraft. Right? Well, if there's no one to submit to, how do I rebel against anything? Can I get amen? Hebrews 13:17 says this. Obey. Everybody say obey. Let's say it again, real nice and strong. Obey. Obey your leaders and submit to them. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them, who's them right here? Leaders, do this, do what? Give an account, right? Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Think about that. If you don't understand what he's saying is that someday I'm going to stand before the Lord and he's going to be, tell me about all those people that came through your church. And he's saying, if there's people that I'm standing before God, I can't lie. Because I'm pretty sure I want to make it in. You know what I mean? That might be the last like step. You can tell the truth, right? If there's people that I have to give a sad report about, if I have to tell the Lord honestly that there's people that came through that would not do what they needed to do, that would not submit, that would not become a part of the body, right? That would not work together. Whatever it is. The writer of Hebrews says that that's not going to go well with them. Lord's not going to deal with me about that. Wow. Doesn't that feel warm and fuzzy? Yeah. There's a hair on my mic. Ew, it's gross. Is this all right? I think what we're really seeing here, church, is that Jesus is going after, shockingly, our heart motive. Right? If you read through all the way through verse 18 or 19, Jesus goes out, hits three specific areas, which we'll cover the next couple of weeks. We're going to hit one today. He's talking about three specific areas, but I think he's just giving us these three areas as just examples, right? There's so many different ways that we can do things, you know, quote, for the Lord, but we're really doing them because we want something. Right? We're doing them because we want a position. We want a recognition. We want some kind of like pat on the back. Hey, good job, buddy. Like, again, that's okay. If someone gives you a pat on the back, receive it. Amen. Man, that feels good, doesn't it? But if I do something expecting that, whether they give it to me or not, I'm already off track. Okay, I'm going to prove it to you in just a moment. This one's going to be tough. You guys are ready? Buckle your seatbelt. Today's sermon will hit the first one, is giving to the poor. Oswald Chambers goes on and says like this, briefly summed up, these verses mean, have no other motive in giving than to please God. Have no other motive in giving than to please God. Now it's interesting, Jesus is specifically talking about giving to the poor. It's not tithes, it's not offerings. The Greek word is alms. You guys heard alms, right? So this is a whole separate category Jesus is talking about. So imagine, I never even really noticed that until I was studying it this week. Imagine, I should think about it, you know, tithes and offerings, right? And that's crazy enough, right? I mean, what he's saying is that these religious leaders would come in. Again, I pictured it like in church, tithes and offerings, right? They'd come to the temple and they'd come with their 10% and they'd be like, here it is, you know, blowing a trumpet. Look at me, everybody, look at me, look at me, look how much I'm giving. I can't stand it. I still see it in churches today. I can't. I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. We're going to take an offering. And the pastor's up there waving a check. I'm putting $1,000 in. Oh my. Whoa. Right? Jesus talks about alms, praying, fasting. Those are three things he hits in through verse 18. I see people all the time, social media. I took it down with a 10-day fast. Congratulations, you got your reward. Wow, you must be so holy. And hungry, that's for sure. Just a little side note, if you've never heard any advice on fasting, when you're done fasting, if it's a real, like your hardcore fast, don't eat a bacon cheeseburger for your first thing that you eat. It will not go well with you or with those around you. It's bad. Eat like toast or something. Seriously. I'm saving you some time in Jesus' name. Briefly summed up, these verses mean have no other motive in giving than to please God. In modern philanthropy, so if a philanthropist is someone who gives a lot of money, right? In modern philanthropy, we are egged on with other motives. Here's the motives that Oswald talks about. It will do them good. Church, you know how many times that if people have come to River Valley to hear and said, Pastor, I've got this need, and I'm like, oh gosh, yeah, it'll really help you. But then I've realized that some people live in a perpetual state of need. They do it on purpose, expecting handouts all the time. Look, stuff happens for everybody. My wife and I, my family have been helped by this church financially. We've had a couple of times over 20 years we've been here that you know, things happen, and there's not enough money to take care of what you got to do. Everybody goes through that, and it's fine. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that live in a perpetual state of need because they choose to do so. Amen. It'll do them good. Jesus says that's a bad motive. Number two, they need the help. Not a good motive. Pastor Al, who's the prophet that said the devil will often ride in on the wings of a need? Who said that? You remember who was the prophet that said that? The devil will often ride in on the wings of a need. Val Melendez, who's on with the Lord now, been on with the Lord for quite some time. Powerful prophet. The devil will often ride in on the wings of a need. Church, I love giving. I love giving, man. It's hard for me to not give to somebody when I see a need. It's hard for me. That's my natural tendency is to give. But I've learned the last couple of years, there's been situations where I've literally had to say no because I know what the Spirit of God is saying to me. You are enabling this situation, not fixing it. Amen. That's hard, but you've got to hear the Holy Spirit. Number three, they deserve it. They deserve help. They deserve charity. Wrong motive. Right? Here's some other ones. Why we wouldn't be charitable. They're going to waste it. Wrong motive. What does God say? If God says no, then the answer is no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Amen. If Jesus Christ never brings out that aspect in his teaching, he allows no other motive in giving than to please God. There's Oswald Chambers. Amen. Little principle here, if you want to write it down, it's in my notes. If y'all are on my email distribution, you have this, but this is little something that you can, every one of us, it'll help you in any area of your life. If you're motivated by the praises of men, you'll be discouraged by the criticism of the same. Been there, got the t-shirt, got the Blu-ray DVD combo pack. We bought a timeshare down at that place, man, all right? Don't ever do that. Dude, we visited there a couple times a year, you know what I mean? It's awful, and it's such, man, is that a snare. It's so easy to fall into that, right? People say something nice, you're like, ooh, that felt good. It's fine, but as soon as I start doing something to get that again, I'm gonna get hurt. It's just, it's guaranteed. It's a matter of time. Amen. So here's really what it is, church. What is my motivation? This is what Jesus is getting at. What is my motivation? Because what Jesus seems to really be saying here is that there are actually only two motivations for doing something righteous. Think about it, right? Either to be seen by God or to be seen by man. There is nothing else. I'm doing this for God or I'm doing this for men. Wow. Look at what he says at the end of verse 1. We're still in verse 1. Can you believe that? Otherwise, right, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be seen by them or to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Shnikes. I'm probably going to get some emails this week. Pastor, can you get out of the Sermon on the Mount? We're pretty much done. We're good. We got it. We'll be good. Isn't it, man, fluffy teddy bear Jesus. If you decide that you're going to live and do the right thing just because you're getting noticed by men, you have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Ouch. Here's something to remember, and I see it crystal clear from Jesus. If I'm practicing my righteousness to be seen by men, God does not see it. Wow. But if I'm doing the right thing for an audience of one, men will see it as well. Can I get amen? Maybe they like it, maybe they don't, but they're going to see it. Right? If I do it for men, God does not see it. I get nothing from the Lord. If I do it for God, he sees it. I get a reward at some point, and maybe men see it. Maybe they like it. Maybe they don't. I don't care. And again, church, it's not an arrogant I don't care. I can't tell me how many people I've seen are just like, it's just me and Jesus. And they're arrogant and prideful Lone Ranger Christians. Good luck, bro. How blessed is the man that when he falls, he has a brother to help him up. But woe to the man that falls with no one to help him. Why do I got to go to church? Because you're going to mess up and you need some folks who are going to stand around you and help you get up again. Right? Why should I go to church? You want to know why? Because everybody can be nice when you're by yourself. We come to church because a lot of the character stuff we need gets it because folks at church grind on you. None of you, I'm just hypothetically saying, none of you grind on me at all. It's beautiful. We're like fluffy pillows against each other. It's great. It's beautiful. The Greek word here that Jesus used for a reward directly really translates as wages, like a paycheck, all right? Hebrews 11:6 says this, one of my favorite verses. We love to quote the first half. We love to quote the first half, but let's quote the whole verse because we never do that. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him, right? For he who comes to God must believe that he is. I love that part. We'd say all kinds of stuff. Believe that he is what? Believe that he is who he says he is, right? Just believe that he is, not that he exists. That's not what he's mean. Believe that when God says, I'm your provider, I believe that, and I live accordingly. I'm your defender, I believe that, and I live accordingly. I'm your healer, I believe that, and I live accordingly, right? I am your strong tower. Man, praise God, the righteous can run into it and are safe. I don't just like believe that, like I believe in the tooth fairy. I believe that and I adjust my life accordingly. Right? Believe that he is and, ever say and? That he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Some translations say diligently seek him. Right? A rewarder. One who pays wages. There's the Greek word. Right? So what is he saying? The writer of Hebrews is saying, Jesus is saying essentially the same thing. That when we serve the Lord, when we're doing, when we're whatever that looks like, church, whether it's publicly or privately, and here's really another principle I'm getting ahead of myself, which we'll hit in a second. When we're really serving God, when we're really doing the right thing before the Lord with good motives, what we're doing is literally laying up a paycheck that's coming to us out of heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth. It's just a few more verses down, right? But rather in heaven. In heaven, right? Matthew 6:1, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who's in heaven, no paycheck. Come on, how many of y'all would go to work if you stopped getting paychecks? I would. but I'd have to make money doing something else. You know what I mean? Right? But let's say nobody is like, yeah, I love this job so much, I definitely would do it for nothing. We're like, we go because every 2 weeks, every week or whatever it is, we're like, there's this money goes into our account. We're like, oh, yeah, that's why I go every day. Praise God. Right? So just think about this. Jesus is telling us, my beloved, if you flip this backwards, that when we serve the Lord, when we're praying, when we're fasting, when we're worshiping, when we're reading our Bibles, when we're giving, right? Because that's what specifically says. When we're giving to the poor, right? It's an act of charity is what the word means. It doesn't have to be just like a homeless person. It can be anyone that can't do something, and you go as an act of charity, an act of kindness, and help that person. Alms. It's not just money. Jesus is saying that if I'm doing that, that I should get a paycheck. I should notice something coming back into my life from heaven. I give this way, something should be coming this way. I'll tell you, I've learned something. This will help you all. I'll help you all a tremendous amount in your life. It doesn't matter what you do. Yeah, we all know the phrase, like, if we do something, we say there's strings attached to it. Or I know that phrase, like, and we all do that. Every one of us does it. And the Lord started working on me many, many years ago. And he said, son, look, I still want you to have strings attached on what you're doing. Just make sure they're attached at the right place. If I do something for somebody, my string is not attached here. My string is attached up here. Right? Because you know what? If my strings are attached, no matter how loosely it's attached, if I'm doing something and expecting something back from you, you know what I'm doing? Practicing my righteousness before men to be noticed by them. If I do the right thing, and if I never, this is what I tell people. People sit in my office. Some of you, maybe you've heard me say this. You can confirm this. I tell people all the time. Newer folks come to our church. We talk about becoming members. We'll talk about stuff. And I'll say to them all the time, look, if they leave my office, I say, if this is the last time I ever see you, God bless you. We love you. Amen. You're not sitting in my office to try, so I can get something out of you. Done with that. Done. It's from the devil. Can I get an amen from somebody? It's from the devil. From the devil. You know what? I got tired of getting hurt. I got tired of hurting people, and I got tired of getting hurt. I say, man, if you want to plug in here, praise God, let's go for it. I will love you as purely as I possibly can because my strings are not hooked on what you do. They're hooked on the Father. Because if I do the right thing, God will send me a paycheck every single time. Is that so good? It's about perspective, man. This way, right? Church, because if I love somebody, what did we just talk about last week? If you only love those who love you, if you only agapeo those who agapeo you, you're no better than a tax collector. Right? If I'm only doing something nice for you because you did something nice for me, everybody does that. Jesus is saying, do the right thing and let it lie. Look up, right? The key here, almost done, is that we cannot get caught up in what people think about what we're doing. We can't get caught up in trying to impress men or gain the approval of men. Again, it doesn't mean, please hear me, that we shouldn't care at all what people think, right? I mean, for me to pastor this church, I had to prove myself. Yes, I said it, prove myself to Pastor Allen, his wife. Pastor Al's not too, he's easy, man. Prove yourself to Pastor Karen. Yelzer. Pastor Al, man, he's a teddy bear, man. Pastor Karen's the one you got to watch out for. This is her baby right here. Can I get amen? She did not have any natural babies, but she birthed this church out of her womb, bro. This is her baby. So for her to trust my wife and I to take her baby, I had to prove myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you see, church, it's a balance, right? We've got too many leaders that are manipulating people in the church today. That's not Pastor Allen Karen. That's why my wife and I stuck here, because, man, I saw something very pure in those two. Very, very pure. They made mistakes. They did things that I'm sure they do different. Welcome to the club. That's got nothing to do with whether you're pure or not. That's just grinding it out. Can I get amen? There's something very pure in those two, and that's what drew my wife and I to them, into this house. Can I get amen? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm belaboring this because it's so important. Again, this balance, right? Like, people are going to give you a hard time. People are going to come against you. And some of those people, you guys, could be like, look, take care. I know I'm doing the right thing for the Lord. I know it, right? Does this make sense? Matthew chapter 6, 2 through 4, almost done here. We're doing great, man. We're going to be out early again, maybe. Verse 2. So we have this concept, this principle that Jesus lays out in verse 1. Do you guys see it, right? Verse 2, here's his first example. So, everybody say so. So when, everybody say when, not if, when you give to the poor, alms, not tithes and offerings, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that, everybody say so that, they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward, there's that word again, paycheck. They have their wages in full. But when you give to the poor, I'm going to say when. When you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that, I'm going to say so that, your giving will be in, say it together, secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, here's what's crazy. If you notice, hear the tone of my voice, it wasn't reward you. It is reward you. Because King James, I don't particularly like King James except right now. I like it today. Reward you openly, King James. Now, I didn't find that in any other translation, but in the King James, there's a Greek word, and they, now sometimes translations, they like cut a word out here and there, whatever, it happens, amen. But it's so crazy. King James, what God sees done in secret, he'll reward you openly. Openly. Right? So the Greek word here, again, church, is alms, which means really basically means a charitable act, right? Could be money, could be a service, could be helping somebody, whatever you're doing. You guys all know Jim Carrey, you know the actor Jim Carrey? He's not a Christian, I don't think. Maybe he is, I don't know. Probably not. Anyway, he's got this thing that floats around every once in a while, and this is what he says. He's known for a lot of charitable work. And he says this, if you're going to go help somebody that needs help, please don't take your phone and take pictures of yourself helping them. He says, imagine if you were the homeless person and someone was going to come and give you money and they took a selfie with you. He says, how embarrassing. I was like, oh my gosh, I never even thought about that. You know, we were helping a family out last Saturday and I took some pictures and I was almost going to put on Facebook and I just felt like, no. Nope. Like, because it seems like a good thing, right? Like, hey, but you know what? It's like look what our church is doing. Dude, bad motive. Bad motive. Do you understand? Do you see how subtle this is? Right? And I just really feel the Lord saying, look, man, again, we've had fasts here a couple times. Years ago we had a fast and some folks that really wanted to, you know, really felt like they wanted to lead this fast. I said, cool. And I was very clear, like, fast however you want to fast. It's nobody's business how you fast. Nobody's business. Now, it's got to be food, because that's what the word fast means. You can't fast TV. We probably should fast that. But that doesn't count. Right? Fasting is food. So you got to skip like a Reese's peanut butter cup or something. All right? Got to skip something. Can I get amen? But I said, it's nobody's business. You fast between you and the Lord. That's it, right? And all the way at the end, some folks that were leading this fast got all bent out of shape. And I was like, bro, it didn't work. Didn't work. Keep going. Come on. When I'm done fasting, I should be like Jesus. Is that all right? Right? It was a show. Amen. It's tough, but that's the truth. When you give to the poor, Jesus is assuming that we're going to do it regularly, right? Every time I read this, I just imagine, as I said a moment ago, the religious leaders getting ready to help someone is struggling and walking in, like, glancing at, like, there's trumpeters in the corner over here or something. You know what I mean? And they're like, okay, you guys ready? Okay, go. And they're like, okay, now I can help you. It's such a crazy picture, right? I don't know if they actually did that. Like, did that? Is that really what happened in Jesus' day? Like, the Pharisees walked in and they're like, hey, go. Yes, the selfies. They're taking selfies. Hey, look how much I'm giving. Hashtag generous. Dude, it's so crazy to me, right? But look at the truth. Truth be told, there have been just a couple of times, church, that I've done something for someone with less than pure motives. Just like twice in my whole life. But when you give to the poor, don't let your, look what Jesus says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that, denoting purpose, your giving will be in secret. The Greek word for secret is crypto. I found that interesting, right? Crypto. And so crypto is obviously means secret and translated as secret, but like encrypted, right? If you find something that's encrypted, it means that they have, I don't know, I'm not an IT guy, but if you encrypt like software, it means that there's like, everybody can't see it. Only certain people are allowed to see it. And only, you can only see it if you've got the password to get into the encrypted software, right? It's not for public consumption. This is what Jesus is saying. When we give to the poor, it's not for public consumption. Encrypt it. Put it on a flash drive. It's just for you and the Lord to see. That's it. Right? It's not for everyone else's business. Can I get amen? Right? It's not possible to do something with one hand. Think about this. It's not possible to do something with one hand without the other hand knowing what's going on, right? Jesus is using what's called a hyperbole. I learned this yesterday. A hyperbole is an intentional exaggeration to prove a point, right? So just think about it. I was going to have you guys all do this, but I won't. How many people can, like, pat your stomach and rub your head at the same time? Right? One person raised their hand. We can't. You try to do it, and you're like, you watch their, you know, smoke come out of their ears. Because your brain's like, no, one hand's got to rub, the other one's got to rub, man. You can't do different things at the same time. Right? It's like, so this is what Jesus is saying. It's this crazy, like, example to be like, well, duh, that's dumb, man. It doesn't make any sense. But he's saying, this is how your heart should be. You should want to give in such a secretive way that you don't even know what you're doing. Right? According to Jesus here, when we perform acts of charity, acts of kindness towards others, we should do our absolute best to make it as anonymous as possible. Y'all get books last week? How many got books? Right? So the person that bought this, I'm going to look at the wall because I'm going to look at who gave them because I know who did. It was so weird for me to be like, why don't you want everybody to know? I didn't even know I was preaching this Sunday. I was like, oh, that's pretty solid. But it was honestly, even last Sunday, I almost slipped and was like, it was Bob. Oh, no, it wasn't. I mean, it was, no. You know, because I'm just like, so just like, hey, it's great. It's such a good thing. But this person was like, look, I want to be anonymous. I don't want anybody to know. I just want to bless people. Right? That, I almost even said a gender right there. That person, that human, has got a paycheck coming. Is this all right, guys? Jesus is emphasizing how secretly or how cryptically we should give to the poor. Right? According to Jesus here, when we perform acts of charity, we must do our best to be as anonymous as possible. So back to our first point. It doesn't mean that people won't recognize us or congratulate us or whatever, but when we find any of that stuff lurking in the corners of our soul as motivation, like, hey, wow, that was such a great thing you did. And you know what the first thought in our brains, if we're honest? I'm going to do that again. That felt good. Let me find somebody else to do that for. Right? Because we like being recognized. Verse 4, done right here. So that, denoting purpose again, your alms will be encrypted. Your giving will be in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Crazy, guys. I literally just found this out at about 6 o'clock this morning. I was up early finishing this up. And I was looking through the Greek wording in there. I was like, oh my goodness gracious. Verse 4, the word for reward is a different Greek word. I was like, oh boy. Yes. So all the previous, verse 1, verse 2, the word for reward is this Greek word that means to pay wages. This Greek word is a similar word, but it's an entirely different area in the Greek, in the Strong's, if you look it up in Strong's. And the shift is that it's it makes it public. So what Jesus is saying, if I do things because I want men to see them, he goes, you got your reward already. You're going to get something natural from men because that's all that men can give you. Right? Pat on the back. Great job. You're such a great guy. You're so generous. You're so cool. You're so great. I wish I could be like you. Oh, that feels good. But Jesus is like, if that's why you're doing it, it's all you get. But if I do it secretly, as much as I possibly can, before the Lord, he says, I see that, and what you're going to get is not just a paycheck from man, you're going to get a paycheck from heaven. He's like, you're not going to get nothing if you do it for men, but all you're going to get is what man can give you. If you do it for God, you're going to get what God can give you, which is supernatural. Right? Man, it's going to be a paycheck. God says, I'm going to give you a supernatural paycheck, and I'm going to give it to you openly. Everybody's going to see it. Isn't that crazy? I love studying this stuff because we read through it in English. It's all the same. We don't even catch anything, right? Let's all stand up. I want to pray here just for a moment. Was this all right, everybody? A little tough, but man. The sermon this morning was called The Father's Reward, right? The Father's Reward. That's what I want. Rewards from God last a lot longer than rewards from men do. Yeah? Father, in Jesus' name, we just come right now. Lord, I know this, as I said a couple weeks ago, this isn't like a super dynamic, exciting series, like, wow, amazing revelation, and I'm so motivated. A lot of this stuff is, Lord, is corrective in nature. And it's hard. It's dealing with our heart. It's dealing with our integrity. It's dealing with, you know, the question of why. Why am I doing this? And I think, Lord, I think so many times in church, we've become so religious that we just do stuff because we think this is what I'm supposed to do. And we're so more caught up in doing it than why am I doing it? What's my motive? What's my heart condition? Where are my strings attached? But Father, I pray this morning that God, we would see this. We would go home this week and read just these four verses and look at what you're calling us to do. You want to release heaven on us, God. That's what you want. But you're saying, look, if you want to do things for man, you're blocking stuff coming at you from heaven. But if you lift your eyes to heaven and do the right thing for me, says the Lord, no matter what people respond, don't respond, like it, don't like it, you do the right thing for me, heaven's coming down on you. Father, that's what we want. Next week, we're going to hit the Lord's Prayer, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth. But Lord, help us realize that your kingdom coming to earth is coming through us. You tell us, when people say, hey, look, the kingdom's over here. He says, don't listen to them. The kingdom of God is in you. It's in your midst. Father, help us understand that we are not just ambassadors of the kingdom, but we are carriers of the kingdom. Father, that we will live as those people, those ambassadors. I was talking to someone this week. I said, look, you got to understand, an ambassador, if I'm an ambassador from America, United States, and I go to a different country, that means I carry the full authority of the United States on foreign soil. For ambassadors of Jesus Christ, ambassadors of heaven, that means we are carrying the full authority and weight and power of the kingdom of heaven on foreign soil, on the earth. So, Father, I pray this morning that we would become ever increasingly kingdom-minded. Lord, that we will turn our eyes away from the politics, from the media, from the culture, from society, all these things. As things get worse and worse out there, I hope they turn around, Lord, but I don't know. Maybe they won't. But God, that the church will rise up. Lord, we're not called to be a subculture. We're called to be our own culture, counterculture. Not weird and flaky, God, but real, pure, powerful, peaceful, hopeful, joyful, kind, truthful. So, Father, we receive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, show us this week as we spend some time quiet with you. If we've got strings attached anywhere other than to the throne room, show us that, God. Help us to, I'm cutting that string and I'm tying it to the right place. Because you promised that you'll pay us if we're working for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. YouTube and Facebook, bless you guys. Have an awesome week.